Hallelujah.
May the Lord continue to bless everyone today. Amen. I'm very grateful. I'm very honored and privileged to be here. I say it every time that I'm here, but I really mean it. You don't know how big of a blessing this home church has been for me and my family and my ministry. And I thank God every day for Pastor Jonathan and for all of you who support our ministry and honestly, truly support what I do for the community. So I want to thank God in public for you guys being a part of my ministry and being the reason why the Lord allows me the privilege to do what I do, which is to go to different places and speak His word at different homes or at different churches, or whether I'm outside at a bus stop, I have to speak the word of Jesus. Whether I'm arresting someone, I have to speak the word of Jesus. Why? Because like Pastor Jonathan was saying, we are here this morning to exalt His name. We are here this morning because of Him. Nothing that I've done until today has been possible without Him. Nothing that has come to fruition, nothing that has come to pass has been possible without Him. His sacrifice in the cross was the chain, it set off a chain reaction. It set off something so big and so great that all of us are a product of that today. And I want all of us to bring our hands, clap our hands for the Lord. For He is faithful and He is mighty and He is awesome, everlasting, unfailing. And I want to excuse my wife and my children. They had other matters to attend to this morning. Since even though I come here to fellowship with you guys, I also leave from here and I go to my service at my church. So they're getting everything prepared for the service in the afternoon. But I want us to stand and I want us to go to scriptures. And God bless everyone who is listening over at their homes. God bless all the brothers and sisters hearing us through the interweb. We send blessings and we send healing in Jesus' name to your homes. We send peace overall because there is no peace like the peace that Jesus gives. He says, my peace I give, my peace I leave. Not like others do I give it. So we'll go to the scriptures in the book of John. And before coming in, when I was preparing for this, because you know what? We may have set the dates apart, Pastor Jonathan. We may have tried to put a plan in motion, but His mercies are new every day. So even though I know the days that I'm going to be here, I know not what I'm going to speak until the Lord and the Spirit reveals it to me. And it's funny because when I got here, the first thing that I heard was the name of Jesus. Shout to the Lord. And I'm, my Jesus, my Savior. I love that song. I was very young when I first heard that song, and I could relate to that song. Because even though I sang it, I didn't know it. I didn't know what it stood for. I didn't know what it meant. I know it was for somebody who was great. I know it was for, He must have done something amazing. But we're going to go to the scriptures real quick, the book of John, chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 7 and on. You may, well, I'm used to people standing. But if you want to sit, you're welcome to sit. I like to stand in reverence when I read His word because it's like He's speaking to us. And what do we do when He speaks? We stand and we listen. Amen? So the book of John, chapter 10, we're going to read from verse 7 on. Amen? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And we'll say a little prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. We know that you know what we need before we even come to ask, Father. And we ask on this day that your name be exalted, that you be glorified, Father God. In everything that I speak, Lord, I ask that you
add that grace, that you add that supernatural divine wisdom in my words. In Jesus' name, I pray for the healing of those who are sick. In Jesus' name, I pray for the liberation of those who feel captive. In Jesus' name, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And I was having a conversation with God the other day. I say conversation, but I'm obviously referring to prayer. Because when I pray, I have a conversation with God. I go with the utmost respect and the utmost reverence, but I speak to him as he is my father. I ask him as he is my father, right? We all have earthly parents. We all have earthly guardians. But God surpasses that of an earthly parent, of an earthly father, because he is capable of doing way more than anything that we can accomplish here on this earth, right? I'm so sorry.
No. I know how to do some
way. Yeah, no, I'm a little dynamic.
Just want them to be part of the service.
We're good? I will do my best not to go beyond the computer. I just feel so comfortable, especially with this microphone. It's amazing. There's no strings attached, right? There's no strings attached. When we come to Christ, there are no strings attached. We come of our own volition. We come of our own accord. We come to him. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I am. And I was reading that. And many times I've read it before, John chapter 10. But I never emphasized in that first part, I am. And as I was reading it this time around, instead of the good shepherd, I focused on the part I am. When Moses went to God and he asked God, in whose name shall I say that I was sent? And God tells him, tell them, I am has sent you. Tell them, I am who I am has sent you. And Jesus was speaking to the multitude, but amongst the multitude, there were the Pharisees. There were the Jews who were followers and thought of Abraham as their father and Moses as their prophet. So when he is saying, I am the good shepherd, it was to remind them of who was speaking to them. And nowadays, it is so much easier for us to see Jesus on the cross and in heaven than to realize that he is in the middle of our situation. That he is, he was, and he will be. So the message that the Lord gave me today is, I am fills every blank in your life. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I am before your problem, before your sickness, before COVID, before anything else was, I am. And I am is the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Gives his life. He says, I give it. I put it down. No one can take it from me. I give it and I take it back. The same way that life gives us struggles, the Lord allows it, but he takes it back. Not forever shall we suffer. Not forever shall we cry, because I am is with us. I am. And that's a name that a lot of us say, Jehovah Jireh, right? Our provider, Jehovah Rapha, and has so many different names, but the one that encompasses it all was the name that he gave himself. I am. I am gives the authority and the supernatural overbearing weight of being self-sufficient. He is self-sufficient. He is self-sustaining. Nothing comes before him. He said himself, he who came before me is a liar and a thief. The Bible also reminds us that in these days, there will be false Christs who say they come in God's name, but they are liars and deceivers. But it says even the chosen will be deceived, because they come bearing this great name. They come bearing this great reputation. But you know what? At the end of the day, they are false prophets, because by their fruits you shall know them. I am the door of the sheep. And that's the second time, or third, even fourth time, that they're referencing Jesus as the door. Because why? It says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Every time that Jesus spoke, even though these people could not understand and comprehend the weight of the spirit that he was speaking in, today as the church of Christ, we understand that when Jesus speaks, he is speaking for the Father, because he knows the Father as the Father knew him, and he came not of his own accord, but to do the Father. So when we speak in Jesus' name, we are speaking as for Jesus. But most of the time, instead of taking the mind of Christ, we want to take the authority of Christ. We want to take the position of Christ. But God does not share his glory with anyone. That's why he is, I am. And we've heard many different interpretations of this. We've heard songs titled, I Am. Why? Because Satan has always tried to deceive. Satan has always tried to take the place of I Am. But I Am means I Am. There's never been anyone before me, nor will there ever be anyone after me, because I Am. Whether your problem started 10 years ago, I Am was there. Whether your problem is going to start 5 years from now, I Am will be there, because he is. He's always been. How many could clap your hands to the Lord? So when we speak of I Am, we speak of he is self-sufficient, self-sustaining, God who was, God who is, and God who will be. In the middle of anything, God who was, God who is, and God who will be. The only thing that changes is us. But God is the same, and he will always be the same. His promises that were foretold decades and years and centuries ago are still the same promises today. So no matter the situation, no matter the sickness, no matter the pain, I Am is there. I Am says, I am your healer. I am with you till the end. Why? Because he is the Alpha and he is the Omega. He's been since the beginning and he will be until the end. So everything else has an expiration date. Say that with me. Everything else has an expiration date. When you look at a gallon of milk, you go by the expiration date and you say, I don't want to drink it. But you know what that is, though? That's just a reminder of how long it'll be until it's fresh. Doesn't mean it goes spoiled after that. And I learned that. Because I remember I used to look at the milk, and it said July 22nd, and I would take it on July 22nd, and in my head, I've already been pre-programmed to believe that the milk is no good, right? So I smell it, I'm like, ooh, that smells bad. Even though it didn't, and I'd pour it down the toilet, right? But as I got older, and when I got married, my wife started teaching me that expiration date is just the date of freshness that they advise or that they estimate might go bad. But there's times where the milk was supposed to be spoiled in June 22nd, and I still drink it until July 14th, right? I call that the mercy period, right? Sometimes we live paycheck to paycheck. How many live paycheck to paycheck? Amen? No matter what job, what career we have, we all tend to live paycheck to paycheck, because the more we make, the more responsibility we take on, because we're not good managers of our finances, right? It's like, okay, I'm making this much now, I can buy this, but we forget. Now we put this on a credit card. Now it's a monthly payment, right? Now it's something that just keeps accumulating and accumulating. Now interest is on top and all this and all that, right? Same thing is with our trials. When one starts, we tend to get tunnel vision, and we stick to that, and we focus on that trial, and then the other trials just keep piling up like interest, accumulating on top and on top and on top. And instead of focusing on the one problem, we should be realizing that we got to nick that in the bud and go to the next thing. We cannot stay stagnant in the same place. We cannot hinder ourselves in the same position, because I Am has called us to move forward. If you've already put your hand forward, if you've already set your sights on what's forward, on what's ahead, sorry. I set my sights on what's ahead, so I apologize in advance. You've set your sight on what's ahead. You're moving forward. Nothing that stayed behind should hinder or change your mind. Jesus knew what he came to do. He says, I am the sheep door. I lay my life. The good shepherd lays his life for his sheep. And these people could not comprehend and understand what he was talking about. He's telling you, hello, I am. Hello, you remember when I spoke to Moses, I am the same person today speaking to you. But we tend to forget. We tend to think that God is busy. We tend to think that other people's prayers are more important than ours. We tend to think that there's people who are sicker than us and he's got to deal with them first. No, I am deals with everyone when he wants. I am deals with everything at once if he has to. Because he is. He is, and there is no one who's come before him that's done what he can do. That's why I try to be the best parent I can on earth to my children, understanding that my Father does better for me. And that's what keeps me wanting to give better for my children, better education, a better walk with Christ. And if that's us who are parents on earth, imagine our Father in heaven. What else does he want for us? What more can he not do for us? I am that gasoline in your tank that gets you to work every day. I am that breath of life. I am that oxygen. I am the blood that flows through your veins. I am your white and red blood cell count. I don't know why I'm going deep, but if the Spirit wants me to go this deep, I am going to go deeper. I am the one who gives the order for your organs to function. I am who says ligament attach. I am who says muscle attach. I am. Not by your strength, not by my strength, but by his strength. For his power is strengthened in our weaknesses. In our sickness, his healing is greater. In our sorrow and our sadness, his love and his joy is everlasting and abundant. Clap your hands to the Lord. Oh, God. I don't know, but I felt some healing come. I felt some healing travel just now. I felt some healing leaving my body. Janice, I felt some healing leaving me, Janice. I felt some healing leaving me. God is good. And the problem with today's churches and today's society is that one thing is that we haven't realized that he is. That's number one in today's society, in today's modern church. And the second is, some have never known that he is. It's like I said before, we instead of taking the mind of Christ, we want to take upon ourselves to do what only God can do. We try to search for these answers. We try to search for these shortcuts. But only he can do these things. Number one, we have not realized it yet. Jesus spoke to these people, and Jesus spoke. The Bible says that he was speaking parables so that even hearing they wouldn't understand. Why? Because they were so blinded. Their ears were so deafened by what they thought they knew, by what they thought they have seen. Oh, our father Abraham. Oh, and Jesus said, oh, you are sons of your father Abraham, you claim. But no, you are sons of your father the devil, for he is the liar and the father of all lies. What does that tell me? That no matter what anybody says, no matter what any x-ray, no matter what any MRI, no matter what any CAT scan, no matter what any diagnosis says, if God says that I am good, that I am has spoken for me, then I am spoken for. I'm not led by the medical professionals. I am not led by the science or the medicine of this world. I am led by I am. Paul said, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. And instead of taking the I am mentality, we are taking the me mentality. It's all about me. It's all about what I know. It's all about what's been said to me. Forget about what's been said to you. Forget about what you know till this moment and surrender yourself wholeheartedly to I am, the only one who can save us from whatever tribulation we are going through. Amen. Praise God. Clap your hands. Dance in the spirit. Run around. I don't know. Do something. But I am is with us today. I am is here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
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 Holy Amen. Spirit is flowing.
Glory to the
Holy Lord. Spirit is flowing. I want to see people dance like David. I want to hear the people speak in tongues, celestial tongues, supernatural tongues. I want to see that revival in the church of Christ because I am is here. And wherever I am is, my God. Woo. I don't know about you, but I feel a fire burning inside me. Oh, my God, I feel a fire burning inside me. Oh, God, you are amazing, Father. Lord, thank you for your mercy. Ooh, thank you for your presence. Ooh, clap your hands to the Lord. I don't know what else to do. I'm going to start running. But if I start running, the people are going to complain that they can't see me. I don't know, but when I feel the power of God, when I feel the Holy Spirit come over me, pour out like a fresh bath. Ooh, and the Lord says, today I am. Wow. I am pouring over you like a fresh bath. I am leaving your body white as snow. I am purifying you. I am sanctifying you. I am healing. I am removing cysts. Ooh. Oh, Lord. I am removing tumors. Oh, God. I am removing nodules. I am removing anything that is blocking the flow of life because I am life. Ooh, I feel like I could fly right now. If you felt what I'm feeling right now, oh, we will go out there and we'll take on anything. We'll stand in front of a truck because we know that I am's got us. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just telling you what I'm feeling right now. Woo. I'm feeling right now. God is amazing. God is amazing. Wow, clap your hands to the Lord one more time. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, we don't realize or have never known who he is. And we'll go back to the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 58 says, Jesus said to them most assuredly, right? But let's go to 57. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? You know what that reminds me of? When somebody comes up to me and says, you don't have as much time as I do in ministry, and you think that the Father's going to use you, right? Or you don't have that much time in this place of work, and you think you're just going to go ahead and grab the bull by the horns? They don't see our value. They don't see our worth. Why? Because he who is in the flesh, he who operates in his fleshly knowledge, who operates in his knowledge of books, in his knowledge of science, in his knowledge of medicine, is not apt to perceive the works of the Spirit. And I'm not trying to downplay, or I'm not trying to diminish your education or your professionalism, but we have to understand that before our profession, he is. Before our studies, he is. Before anything we can accomplish in this world, He is. So go out there, tackle education, tackle college, tackle theology, but don't get lost. Don't become a man or woman of many words, because all the words, right? Paul said, too many words kill. But the Spirit, He revives. He brings things to life. So go out there, tackle your education, tackle a career, but don't forget that He is. Never forget that He is. And then these Jews said, how? How is it possible that you're not even 50 years old yet? Because Jesus started His ministry at the age of 30, as was a custom. And He said, you're not even 50 years old. How can you speak in as if you know Abraham? How? And sometimes we adopt that mentality, and then we say, why don't you try walking a mile in my shoes and you could understand what I'm going through? Right? You don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what my situation is. You can't judge anything because you haven't walked a mile in my shoes. I tell you what, I know the one who has walked way more than 1 mile for you and for me on His way to the cross. So I can speak. I can speak. I can attest to that testimony. So that anything that we are going through down here, He's already gone through tenfold for us. And He laid down His life, because the good shepherd gives His life for His sheep. So these Jews were so obsessed with the fact that his age didn't match his criteria. Right? When you go apply for a job or a position, they ask you for your resume. And some of these jobs, they want you to have a college degree plus 5 years of experience. Or if you don't have a college degree, you got to have this much knowledge and this and that and this and the third. Right? So you need these qualifications, right? You need all these qualifications, all these requirements that you got to meet just to go apply for the position, which doesn't guarantee you the position. All these qualifications. And this is what these Jews were judging Jesus on. His age, His time on earth. And Jesus, every time He spoke, He said, I am. What does that mean? I am. I have no age. I've always existed. I've always been. Same way I spoke to Abraham, I'm speaking to you and you do not understand. Many times God is speaking to His people, but because of our own understanding, because of our own opinions and our own knowledge, we cannot hear His voice. We cannot hear His voice. And they said, how? How can you possibly know Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, right? Jesus could have just said, I say to you. No, but He knew. All He knew. Without a doubt in His mind, He knew. Why? Because if we have faith in Him, it's because our faith comes from Him. Our faith comes from Him. Why? Because He is truth. Our faith is put in the truth. And once our faith is put in the truth reacts. And the truth works in our favor. The faith, He says, most assuredly, He was certain. Nothing could shake His conviction. And when we speak to our trials, when we speak to our problem, when we speak to our sickness or to our illness, we have to speak like Jesus spoke and say, most assuredly, I say to you in the name of Jesus, in the name of I am, that you are done. Most assuredly, I tell you sickness, that you leave my body in the name of I am. Speak with certainty. No flailing, no doubt. We speak directly to the situation. And Jesus said, most assuredly, just in case there was any doubt in your mind, I'm going to reassure you, most assuredly, that before Abraham was, I am. That's amazing. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. When you speak the truth in all conviction, in all certainty, right? Because in our mouth, in our tongues lies the power of life and death. That's what the Bible says. This muscle right here holds within itself the power of life and death, right? But is it because the muscle itself was created for that? No. It's because from the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth. And if in your heart there is an abundance of the Holy Spirit, there's an abundance of Scripture, then when you speak, you will speak life. But if in your heart there's still roots of evil, there's this hurt and this pain, when you speak, all you're speaking is weakness and death. So before we speak, right? And that's why there's many ways of putting this. Think before you speak. Listen before you speak. Bible says that faith comes from hearing. Hearing the word of God, right? So if I'm hearing the word of God every day, I'm digesting that word. I'm digesting that scripture. When I speak to my illness, it has to listen. When I speak to my problem, when I speak, most assuredly, my God is greater than anything, it has to come to pass. In Jesus' name, he says, I have given you power to place hands over the sick and they shall heal. In my name, place hands over the captive and they shall be delivered. In my name, in Jesus' name, in I am's name, we are able to accomplish, we are able to go forward and do these things. But we have to know that it's not our own strength, it's not our own understanding, it's not our own knowledge. It's I am. I am. He gave himself that name. And that tells me that that's how he wants to be known. He wants to be known as the I am. He wants to be known as the self-sufficient, self-sustaining God. He wants to be known as he who cannot be shaken, the unshakable rock. Once that rock plants itself in our lives, can no longer be shaken. Once that rock has planted in fertile land, because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And once that Holy Spirit dwells in that temple, we have to speak with the utmost certainty that I am speaks through us. Clap your hands to the Lord, please. We are just about finishing. Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. When we are confronted by the truth many times, our reaction is not the best, to say the least, right? When we have tried to get away with something for so long, and then finally that comes out to the light, our reaction is strange. Our reaction is not expected. But he who humbles himself and accepts his faults and accepts his offenses, then he will be exalted by God. But these men, these Jews, cannot understand that, and they took up stones. So when we are used by God to go confront someone, to speak in the place of God, to speak in the place of Jesus, and we speak truth, and they don't like it, then they take up stones. Then that's when they start the bashing. That's when they start the criticizing. That's when they start the judging. Right? You can't go to a doctor and tell him that God did the miracle, because before they can accept that God did the miracle, they're going to try. They're going to try to prove it through medicine and through science. Not all, because, of course, I do believe that there are Christian doctors. I know of some Christian doctors. And I've also known of some doctors who have realized that they have had no say in some of the miracles that have happened in these hospitals. I've also known of believers that have gone to their doctors and have told them, most assuredly, I have nothing. And when the exams and the tests are all done, they have nothing. But you have to believe it. But let me tell you something. Google, you don't want to Google any symptoms nowadays. Have you ever tried to Google your symptoms? I Googled a symptom the other day. It told me I had 3 days to live. I Googled my symptoms the other day. It says, you get ready. Start doing all your funeral arrangements because you will die. What does that tell us? What does that show us? That even in the web, even in this Google searches, the deceiver operates subliminally and subtly. He kills our faith. He tries to destroy that faith and that trust in Christ, even through the phones, even through the computers, even through the voice of man. But this is what I like about chapter 10 in the book of John. In verse 18. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again among the Jews because of these sayings. There was a division because of the sayings. So it's a reminder that there's going to be a division. Wherever we go, there will always be a division between the truth and what they choose to believe. So I may think that I'm doing something great. I may think that, or I believe that I'm fulfilling God's purpose in my life, but others will not see it that way. Others will see me as a heretic. Others will see me as strange. Others will see me as weird. Others will chastise me and criticize me like David's wife did when he danced with joy. Others may say, here comes the Christian, here comes the believer, here comes the Holy One, right? They give us nicknames, they mock us, they don't understand that they're not mocking us, they're speaking truth. They're speaking truth to the fact that we are followers of Christ. We are, to the world, illogical because we believe in the supernatural. They can't comprehend that. So they mock us. They give us names. They call me the pastor. Sometimes where I go, even where I go get my haircut, oh, here comes the pastor. And I'm like, and I say, thank you, but I don't want that. Right? Or I go and I'll go speak at a church, and they always want to give me something. Here comes the minister of the Lord. And that's great and all. But what about the people who mock us? Oh, wait, don't talk about that. Here comes the Christian. But they don't realize they're doing me a favor. Yes, please stop talking about what you were talking about. I don't want to listen to that. And sometimes to get rid of us, they bring on these subjects that they know we don't want to hear. So they get rid of us. Like if I'm talking to someone, whether it be at work or somewhere else, and they start talking about these lustful desires, I walk away. What do you think, I'm going to stand there and listen to all that stuff and they say, let me pray for you? No. Because from the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. So if that's what's in their heart, that's what they're going to speak about all the time. So I'm going to wait for the right moment. I'm not going to stand by. I'm going to wait for the right moment when they least expect it, when they're not talking about anything, and I'm going to season a little Jesus in there. And then when I finally got them, When they're finally hooked, I'll throw a bait. When they're finally hooked, I'll start reeling them in and reeling them in and reeling them in. Until what once was chastisement, was once was criticism, now becomes hunger for God. Now they're calling me. They're saying, hey, you think you could pray for me? Or I receive text messages now, pray for me, I'm going through something very serious, right? What they thought they were doing wrong and mocking us, they were actually uplifting us. We have to see it that way. We can't see it any other way. What they did to Christ at the cross and before the cross, they were fulfilling a prophecy. I cannot speak on what I have not gone through. I cannot speak. How can I testify of healing if God has never healed me? I've seen it in others, but how can I truly testify of healing if I haven't experienced God's healing? How can I speak of mercy if I haven't experienced God's mercy? How can I speak on forgiveness and forgiving others when I have yet not been forgiven by Jesus? Right? And that's conversation and a debate. It's very controversial because then you tell people, if they don't have God in their heart, then they don't have love. But then people are like, oh, but what about my mother? She loves me. What about my father? He loves me. Yeah. But God's love and man's love, it's not the same love. Because man loves today, and then tomorrow that love is gone. Right? Look at all the divorces. Look at Hollywood, right? Look at Hollywood. One day they're professing their love over all social media, public PDA. That's public displays of affection for those who didn't understand. Those who didn't understand the acronyms. PDA everywhere, and then a month later, divorce.